VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America as we have a news roundup day today. So many stories, so many issues taking place, not only here in our nation, but around the world as well. We'll seek to cover a number of issues that are going on right now, and certainly to remind us how important it is that we be in prayer for our nation, for our national leaders, for our president, vice president, the cabinet, the House leadership, the Senate leadership, our state legislative bodies as well. And friends, also to be praying for the upcoming election this November. It's a turning point for the nation. Which direction are we going to go as a nation? Are we going to want to go down the path of socialism? Voters will decide that this coming November. How do we stand on issues of life? Where do we stand on issues of borders? And where do we stand on issues of morality? All of that on the docket here for the election this coming November. So be in prayer regarding this election, and by all means, stay informed on the candidates, not by party, but by individuals. What is their platform? What do they stand for? Those who are already in office, what have they done? Have they followed through on the things they said they were going to do? Do you agree? Do you disagree with the positions that they have taken? To be informed and educated voters. And as always, we encourage you to cast a prayerful vote. But indeed, let's be praying for these upcoming elections. As we mentioned, much going on in this world today. This is from The New American, and a surprise move. The U.S. government ordered China to shut down its consulate in Houston, citing spying concerns. The Chinese government condemned the order, increasing the already rising tensions between the two global powers. The U.S. State Department stated succinctly, "We have directed the closure of PRC Consulate General Houston in order to protect American intellectual property and Americans' private information," announcing that the Chinese consulate must close by today. Beijing indicated that the order seriously violates international relations norms and will result in retaliation unless America walks it back. The order to shut down the consulate came after the Justice Department Tuesday unsealed an indictment charging the two Chinese hackers with trying to steal coronavirus research from American companies. According to the indictment, the two Chinese nationals stole material on military satellite programs, wireless networks, and communication systems, high-powered microwave and laser systems, as well as a counter-chemical weapons system on behalf of China's Ministry of State Security. The indictment stated there were 24 unnamed alleged victims, including a Texas engineering company and a Virginia defense contractor. Fox News adds to the report, saying that these two, Li and Dong, trained in computer application technologies, targeted countries with high-tech industries, including Australia, Belgium, Germany, Japan, Lithuania, Spain, South Korea, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. In at least one instant, the hackers sought to extort cryptocurrency from a victim entity by threatening to release the victim's stolen source code on the internet, the FBI said. Also, OneNewsNow.com on this story indicates that the two defendants not in custody, and federal officials conceded that they were not likely to step foot in an American courtroom, but the indictment carries important symbolic and deterrence value for the Justice Department for the unlikely scenario in which the defendants would travel to the U.S. and risk arrest. The hacking began more than 10 years ago with targets including pharmaceutical, solar, and medical device companies, but also political dissidents, activists, and clergy in the United States, China, and Hong Kong, federal authorities had said. Now, Chinese diplomats, this is Western Journal now, recorded burning documents after the State Department ordered the closure of the consulate in Houston on Tuesday. KPRC television reported that documents were spotted being burned in the consulate courtyard, which prompted a call to firefighters. The outlet reported that dozens of Houston firefighters were dispatched to the scene, but they could not enter the property. Video on social media shows what appears to be barrels of paper burning in the consulate courtyard. Fox News also reporting today, China has ordered today the closure of the U.S. consulate in the western city of Chengdu, that's in the Sichuan province, apparent retaliation for the closing of the Houston facility. The measure taken by China is a legitimate and necessary response to the unjustified act by the United States, said the foreign ministry in a statement. He went on to say that the current situation in Chinese-U.S. relations is not what China desires to see. The United States is responsible for all of this, the ministry said. We once again urge the United States to immediately retract its wrong decision and create necessary conditions for bringing the bilateral relationship back on track. You see, we've got to get more things to spy on. We need more secrets, U.S. secrets in China. And so the retaliation has begun. From FaithWire, a U.S. Senate panel has approved a ban on the use of the Chinese-owned TikTok app on government devices. The Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs voted unanimously Wednesday to move forward with a bill from Senator Josh Hawley that would ban federal staffers from using the video-based social media app, Reuters reported. Hawley's legislation would now head to the full Senate for a vote. Far from being independent and not aligned with any government, political party, or ideology, TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, literally has an internal Communist Party committee as part of its governance structure. ByteDance employees regularly get together to study Chinese premier's speeches and pledge loyalty to the party. The U.S. military has already barred service members from using TikTok on government-issued devices. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen, from WND.com, on Tuesday of this week, TikTok announced a plan to create thousands of American jobs amid scrutiny from lawmakers who believe the company is linked to the Chinese Communist Party. The company said it would add 10,000 jobs in the U.S. over the next 3 years. This was said by TikTok spokesman Josh Gartner. According to the Axios report published on Tuesday, the app has been downloaded more than 2 billion times globally on the App Store and Google Play, according to Sensor Tower Store Intelligence. So it's why is TikTok allowed to expand in the United States when we have measures put in place to ban the military from utilizing TikTok? When we have measures put in place to ban any kind of federal devices, cell phones, computers, etc., iPads, from having TikTok, why is it that with the belief that is tied to communist China that we allow it as a nation to expand? Oh, they're promising 10,000 new jobs. Coming from the Washington Free Beacon, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday identified China as the world's greatest threat and called on Western nations to unite against Beijing as part of a global effort to eradicate the Communist Party's growing control of the international order. In one of his most significant foreign policy speeches since taking office, Pompeo rallied against the Communist Party's gross human rights abuses, cyber espionage operations, and routine bullying of Western nations. Pompeo said that the world must immediately act to ensure that Communist China's vision for world dominance is not realized. Well, what goes around comes around. This is from the New York Post. The family that owns the New York Times, they report, were slaveholders. In addition to the many links between the family that owns the New York Times and the Civil War's Confederacy, new evidence shows that members of the extended family were slaveholders. Beverly Levy Ox, the mother of Times patriarch Adolph Ox, supported the South in slavery. She was caught smuggling medicine to Confederates in a baby carriage, and her brother Oscar joined the rebel army. According to family history, Oscar Levy fought alongside 2 Mississippi cousins, meaning at least 3 members of the family fought for secession. But I wonder what's going to happen there now with the New York Times, now that the family that owns the Times find that the connections there, that they were slaveholders. LifeSiteNews.com reporting about Tucker Carlson, who accused New York Times of planning to dox his home in order to injure his family. In one of his commentaries, he said, last week, the New York Times began working on a story about where my family and I live. According to Carlson, the story would entail writer Murray Carpenter and photographer Tristan Spinski following him and his family around billed as a Where Are They Now? As a matter of journalism, there is no conceivable justification for a story like that, he said. The paper is not alleging we've done anything wrong, and we haven't. We pay our taxes. We like our neighbors. We never had a dispute with anyone. So why is the New York Times doing a story on the location of my family's house? Well, you know why. To hurt us, he said. To injure my wife and my kids so that I will shut up and stop disagreeing with them. A quote from Tucker Carlson. Well, there's been a lot of speculation. If President Trump is defeated, will he concede? Will he leave the White House or will he continue to hang on to it? Now, isn't that the same accusation that came last time, but it was Hillary Clinton that would not concede? Well, it was an interview this week, Monday morning, MSNBC, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said fumigation may be needed to remove President Trump from the White House if he loses the election in November. I want you to hear exactly what she had to say, and found it very interesting that she used the word fumigate in order to clear the White House.
The fact is, whether he knows it yet or not, he will be leaving. Just because he might not want to move out of the White House doesn't mean we won't have an inauguration ceremony to inaugurate a duly elected president of the United States. Mm. And I'm second in line to the presidency. And just last week, I had my regular continuation of government briefing. This might interest you because I say mm-hmm. to them, this mm-hmm. is never going to happen. God willing, it never will. But there is a process. It has nothing to do with that the certain occupant of the White House doesn't feel like moving and has to be fumigated out of there, because the presidency is the presidency. It's not geography or location. So much for him. I wouldn't spend so much time on it. That's a victory for him, because then we're not talking about your first more important subject, which is what are we going to do to stop this vicious virus?
Yeah, very interesting as she goes on from there. Nancy Pelosi is very careful with her words and intentionally use that word fumigate. And she said again, the certain occupant of the White House doesn't feel like moving and has to be fumigated out of there because the presidency is the presidency. Now, when you go to the dictionary, it defines fumigate as to expose, to smoke or fumes, as in disinfecting or exterminating roaches or ants, etc. Let's go on to another issue here today. The Daily Wire: Portland protesters led by the anti-fascist group Pacific Northwest Youth Liberation Front threatened police and set a number of fires in the city's downtown Saturday night, leaving a Portland police to declare the demonstration a riot. Protesters broke into a building, set it on fire, started dumpster fires last Saturday evening. The department declared the gathering a riot, began working to clear the downtown area. In North Portland, the PNW Youth Liberation Front, an organized group that has been leading demonstrations over the course of the past 2 months, hosted a protest to demand the abolition of the Portland Police Department and to decry violence against people of color. President Donald Trump, now here's the Daily Wire, deploying an elite force of federal agents to handle ongoing riots in Portland, Oregon, Sunday, noting on Twitter that the purpose of deploying the Border Patrol Tactical Unit was to assist Portland law enforcement, not to harm the protesters. We'll have some more on that story after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have investigators found any evidence of life in outer space?
Not a bit, Chris. They've pointed their telescopes to the skies, hoping to pick up any signal that's non-random, like Morse code. Actually, they're setting their sights rather low. They think that just a few letters would indicate intelligent life. But at the same time, scientists look at the incredibly complex information-loaded DNA code with billions of letters all in a precise sequence and call it random. In spite of this incredible complexity, atheistic scientists refuse to believe that it's the evidence of intelligence. Yet they say that the simple hoped-for code from outer space would be the sign of intelligent life. How inconsistent! At least the creation model doesn't depend on claims such as this. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
thanks to Sandy for helping to assist in preparing so many of the stories here today for Crosstalk. A news roundup day today on the broadcast, and our focus on Portland right now. They've been deemed to be stormtroopers or the Gestapo, and the acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf said the smear attacks leveled against their officers is disgusting. Even though the U.S. Customs and Border Protection deployed to Portland are required to wear camouflage, they are civilian police officers, not military. And the insignia and patches they have on their uniforms clearly show this, Wolf explained. He said the smear attacks leveled against their officers is disgusting as it relates to CBP officers deployed in Portland. These highly trained officers are in multi-camouflage wear because they work on the southwest border and they work in an environment that demands that. That's their everyday uniform. It's completely appropriate. They have insignia on their uniforms that read police. They have patches that indicate which agency that they are from. He criticized media for falsely claiming that these officers are military. He said that portraying these civilian officers as stormtroopers or Gestapo is both dishonest and offensive. Reporting from Western Journal, three federal officers injured Monday night in the confrontation in Portland may not recover their vision after rioters shined lasers in their eyes. The confrontation occurred outside the Marco Hatfield Federal Courthouse. Over 1,000 protesters were gathered there. Also from the New American, Americans' peacekeeper forces and their families now face the threat of doxing. Dozens of federal officers in Portland have reportedly had their personal information posted to the Internet while the doxers encouraging other left-wing activists to go to those officers' homes. At a press conference, Federal Protective Service Deputy Director of Operations Richard Klein said that about 38 officers have been doxed so far, which is why officers had their name badges removed in some instances. Breaking Israel News has a very interesting story here today. Actually, it came out earlier this week. It was recently revealed that a board member of a Black Lives Matter affiliated organization in charge of tens of millions of dollars raised by the organization is a convicted terrorist that was pardoned by the Clinton administration. Susan Rosenberg, often described as an American activist, writer, and advocate for social justice and prisoners' rights, was arrested in 1984 while unloading from her car and into New Jersey storage unit hundreds of pounds of dynamite along with weapons, including a submachine gun. She had also been sought as an accomplice in the 1979 prison escape of Asada Shaker and in the 1981 Brinks robbery that resulted in the deaths of two police and a guard, although she was never charged in either case, opting for a plea deal instead. She was sentenced to 58 years imprisonment on weapons and explosive charges, but her sentence commuted to time served by President Bill Clinton in 2001 on his final day in office. WND.com reporting that Black Lives Matter and Antifa mob assaulted Michelle Malkin, dressed in black, block and armed with collapsible batons and a longboard. Antifa activists allied with Black Lives Matter attacked conservative columnist and author Michelle Malkin and others while she was on stage during a rally in Denver in support of police. The video was posted on Twitter. She could be heard screaming at the violent mob to get back. She said she was sprayed in the face with aerosol string and the rally organizer was beaten with a longboard and also with a bullhorn. She wrote on Twitter that Black Lives Matter and Antifa gave advance notice to police that they intended to shut down the Back the Blue rally. The video shows the attackers were allowed to walk up on the stage. Denver Police Chief Paul Pazin asked the pro-police group to reschedule or to move their rally. Amazing. Black Lives Matter member arrested for kneeling on the neck of a white baby. The shocking and disturbing photograph, no mainstream media coverage of this, reports Pamela Geller. The man in the photograph, Isaiah Jackson, arrested July 20th in Ohio for a probation violation. Charges are pending review by a Clark County prosecutor's office against a man accused of kneeling on the neck of a 2-year-old child in a photo shared on social media, according to the Clark County Sheriff's Office. You see the child in a diaper. You see somebody else holding the child down as well. Clark County Sheriff's Office has launched an investigation. Child is said to be safe. We often hear the words mostly peaceful as it relates to protest. You've heard that over and over and over in the news. WND.com is reporting a story here from Western Journal that there are two words that we've heard in the media about the Black Lives Matter protest. However, on the left, mostly peaceful means ignoring the not peaceful contingent taking to the streets in order to loot and to assault. According to the Associated Press, at least four New York Police Department officers injured during a clash on the Brooklyn Bridge. The problem is that the violence may not have been an impromptu thing. Surveillance video reported on Thursday by the New York Post, that would be, I believe, a week ago, appears to show that anti-police protesters received a small shipment of bats, baseball bats, outside of City Hall before the clash. Where did the bats come from? Who ordered them? How did they arrive? Just like those mysterious orders of bricks coming into Minneapolis. Daily Wire reporting President Donald Trump suggested he will dispatch federal agents to more major cities in the U.S. to protect federal property and to suppress violent riots. He spoke to reporters from the Oval Office early this week, promised to do something about a surge of violence that is hitting cities such as New York and Chicago. He said, I'm going to do something, I can tell you, because we're not going to let New York and Chicago and Philadelphia, Detroit and Baltimore and all of these, Oakland is a mess, he said. We're not going to let this happen in our country. Interesting indeed. Troubling story from Western Journal. Chicago police have linked a group of armed children to at least 16 carjackings since the end of June in the city's Southside neighborhood. The children, said to be ages 10 to 17, committed their first carjacking June 23rd, the Chicago Sun-Times reported. In all of these incidents, four to six armed offenders approached citizens while they parked their vehicles or pulled into gas stations. They then demand their vehicles and property, a Sunday community alert from the Chicago Police Department read. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about young people beginning at the age of 10 that are now been fully groomed and engaging in carjackings, violent carjackings. WND.com, seeking to defund the police department by 50% in the name of racial justice, the Seattle City Council finds itself in a bind. The problem is that the slashing of the budget would require firing police officers according to seniority, and many of the junior officers who would be let go are black. So the city council member, Lisa Herbold, as a simple solution, she said to fire only white officers. Constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley thinks federal courts would not agree with that kind of discrimination. Pamela Geller, carrying the story of the Black Lives Matter organizer charged on six counts of child sex abuse, possession of images of underage girls. Christopher DeVries, organizer, leader of a Black Lives Matter defund the police protest, he named Skate Away the Hate, has been arrested on six counts of possession of child sex abuse images. He's a resident of Jackson, New Hampshire, served on the Municipal Budget Committee for the town of Conway in the Granite State. In addition to child abuse charges, also charged for falsifying physical evidence after he threw his cell phone from his porch when law enforcement arrived. Each count of possession of child sexual abuse images, Class A felony, punishable by up to 15 years in state prison, $4,000 fine, faces up to a 90-year stint in state prison if found guilty on those charges alone. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting that the far-left Black Lives Matter movement has risen to unprecedented levels of mainstream acceptance over the past few months, thanks in no small part to the overwhelming number of endorsements, at times accompanied by significant donations it's received from major brands and corporations. I'm not going to go through the entire list here, but Netflix, Hulu, NFL, NBA, Facebook, Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Kroger, Walmart, Target, Home Depot, Wendy's, McDonald's, Coke, on and on the list goes. Also interesting, from the Daily Wire, the Associated Press says, which often sets the way that people use language, you know, the style books. They put this annual style book out listing how words are to be used. Also recently said that the word black should be used with an uppercase when referring to African Americans, but on Monday the AP said that the word white should not be uppercase when referring to Caucasian people. How is this going to help matters? Aren't you just seeking to inflame even more? The Associated Press said that the white people in general have been much less shared history and culture and don't have the experience of being discriminated against because of skin color. From townhall.com, Senator Tom Cotton has introduced a new bill that would prohibit federal funds from being used to teach the 1619 Project at K-12 schools and school districts. The bill would also render schools that teach the 1619 Project ineligible for purposes of receiving federal professional development grants. The New York Times 1619 Project is a racially divisive, revisionist account of history that denies the noble principles of freedom and equality on which our nation was founded. Not a single cent of federal funding should go to indoctrinate young Americans with this left-wing garbage, said Senator Cotton in a press release. Interesting story coming here from Daily Wire. A Nashville man told his local news station last week that he received at least three calls from the state about apparently testing positive for the novel coronavirus. But the problem is, he was never tested. The Tennessee Health Department confirmed through a spokeswoman that they are investigating the discrepancy. As noted by the Daily Wire a week ago, the Florida State Health Department confirmed that some testing labs in the state had not been disclosing their negative novel coronavirus testing results, skewing the positive rates dramatically. Countless labs have reported a 100% positivity rate, which means every single person tested was positive. Other labs had very high positivity rates, Fox 35 explained. We shared that story last week. It was uncovered that Orlando Veterans Medical Center reported positivity rate of 76%, but it was actually 6%, around 6%, a spokesman for the center revealed. Orlando health positivity rate is only 9.4%, not 98%, as was reported. And when I looked today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, part of the USA Today network, Madison, Wisconsin, some county health departments are behind in processing and reporting thousands of negative coronavirus tests, which could distort some daily virus data reported by the state. Local health officials are experiencing backlogs in processing negative tests, which pushed Dane County this week not to calculate its percentage of positive tests, a data point the public uses to determine how intense infections are in the area. While positive test results are being processed and their number quickly reported, negative test results are taking days and in some cases to be analyzed before they're reported to the state. Health Secretary Andrea Palm said the public should be instead for now rely on 7-day averages of the percentage of positive tests to find the more accurate picture of the virus spread in Wisconsin. State health official Stephanie Smiley said Tuesday many local health departments are experiencing delays, including Dane County, where health officials are about 10 days behind in processing the negative tests due to thousands upon thousands of new tests every day. I find that just staggering. Why isn't that front page news? We keep hearing about these staggering positive numbers taking place in counties and states. Well, we have illustrations taking place, whether it be in the state of Florida or now here in Dane County and counties around the state of Wisconsin, that may be up to 10 days and behind in reporting tests that are coming back negative. Is this intentional? Folks, you'll have to answer that one. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5 or 5 copies for a donation of $18. 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Yeah, hard to believe. Hard to believe. All these negative tests. Well, we're many days in behind in reporting negative tests, but we got to get those positive tests right out there. Are the numbers being skewed? A troubling story coming from WND.com. California will be releasing 18,000 prison inmates for the sake of public health and safety, according to state officials. The Washington Examiner reported the inmates are to be released by the end of August to slow the spread of COVID-19. These actions are taken to provide for the health and safety of the incarcerated population and staff, said Ralph Diaz, the secretary for the State Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Western Journal reporting that people who live in states that do not have mask mandates should be left behind when Congress approves its next coronavirus relief bill, according to Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, saying wearing masks in public should be mandatory, period. Leader McConnell said the Senate will take up the next coronavirus economic relief bill later this month. At that time, I intend to offer an amendment to prohibit sending funds to states that haven't adopted a statewide mask requirement, Feinstein said. It's time for Congress to step in. It's a matter of life or death, and partisan politics shouldn't play a role. President Donald Trump has said he opposes a national mask mandate. Interesting matters that are going on. And also, we have from the Daily Caller, Nancy Pelosi calling COVID-19 the Trump virus, blaming President Trump. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi repeatedly called coronavirus the Trump virus Tuesday because she argues President Donald Trump's inaction made the pandemic worse. Now, remember when she was in Chinatown telling people, after President Trump stopped the allowing individuals to come into the country from China, she was upset. She went to Chinatown, said, come join us here. And she's blaming President Trump's inaction, making the pandemic worse. She said fewer Americans would have died if Trump had insisted on greater social distancing and the wearing of masks. With the president's comments today, he recognized the mistakes that he's made by now embracing mask wearing and the recognition that it is not a hoax. It's a pandemic that's gotten worse before it will get better because of his inaction. And in fact, clearly, it is the Trump virus, Nancy Pelosi said on CNN. Daily Wire reporting that Democratic New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio declared in March that the city needed an expensive, crucial emergency hospital to treat a predicted flood of COVID-19 patients. Well, the hospital cost a whopping $52 million to put together, and now it's being reported that they treated a total of 79 patients before shutting down after 33 days later, May 13th. Cost $52 million to put this together. They treated 79 patients. The story of the temporary hospital built at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in Queens is detailed in a new expose by the New York Times. A nurse practitioner told the Times, they basically got paid $2,000 a day to sit on my phone and look at Facebook. We all felt guilty. I felt really ashamed, to be honest. ChristianNews.net, a man in Montana recently arrested for toppling a Ten Commandments monument on the grounds of a county courthouse with a chain and his pickup truck, now facing a felony charge of criminal mischief. From townhall.com, Courtney O'Brien reports President Trump signed an executive order barring illegal immigrants from being counted when state officials draw congressional maps. The president released the following statement after his decision, explaining that he is determined to keep illegals from being counted in the census, saying, last summer in the Rose Garden, I told the American people that I would not back down in my effort to determine the citizenship status of the United States population. Today, I am following through on that commitment by directing the Secretary of Commerce to exclude illegal aliens from the apportionment base following the 2020 census. The Free Beacon reporting a Michigan school district fired a popular high school teacher and coach after he pointed out that Trump is our president on social media. Varsity baseball coach and social studies teacher Justin Casera said Walled Lake School District officials hauled him into a closed-door meeting after he indicated his support for President Trump's speech to reopen schools. He told the Washington Free Beacon that the Walled Lake Western principal and district superintendent gave an ultimatum to be fired or to resign. Here's his quote. He said, I was required to meet with human resources, the superintendent, my principal. They initially took my statements as to why I tweeted those tweets, and they told me that they would have a decision about my future employment in the coming days. When they completed the meeting, I was told I had the option to either be fired or to resign. LifeNews.com, a New York branch of Planned Parenthood abortion chain, publicly distanced itself from its founder, Margaret Sanger, on Tuesday amid accusations of systemic racism within the organization. According to the New York Times, Planned Parenthood of Greater New York plans to rename its Manhattan abortion facility, which has long bore Sanger's name, also asked city leaders to remove her name from a street sign nearby. The removal of Margaret Sanger's name from our building is both a necessary and overdue step to reckon with our legacy and acknowledge Planned Parenthood's contributions to historical reproductive harm within communities of color, said Karen Seltzer, who chairs the board of the New York affiliate. Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska responded saying Planned Parenthood can rename a building, but it can't whitewash its eugenic roots. And matter of fact, cannot also whitewash the fact that they continue to practice the killing of unborn babies with a special emphasis in minority neighborhoods. LifeNews.com reports a Utah artist painted a large message, Babies' Lives Matter, in pink and blue on the street outside of Planned Parenthood early last Saturday in Salt Lake City, Utah. Taylor Hansen said he wanted to expose how the billion-dollar abortion chain kills unborn babies and abortions, especially in poor minority neighborhoods, saying this affects every race. But Planned Parenthood was founded by eugenicist Margaret Sanger, who consulted with the KKK to create the organization, he told Fox News. They placed these abortion mills in predominantly poor and black demographics on purpose to exterminate the black race, he said. The true racism happening in America today, he said, is Planned Parenthood. LifeNews.com reporting the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit issued a resounding victory Tuesday for the New Hope Family Services. It's a faith-based adoption provider. The court reversed a district court's dismissal of New Hope's lawsuit against New York officials seeking to shut down the provider simply for its religious beliefs about marriage. In November, at the request of Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys representing New Hope, the Second Circuit temporarily halted state officials from interrupting current adoption placements or mandating the closure of New Hope's adoption program. Case now goes back to district court. The New Hope State Office, the New York State Office of Children and Family Services singled out the religious nonprofits for its policy prioritizing the placement of children that it serves in homes with a married mother and a father. Let's get to some open phone lines. I've got more stories, but also want to give you opportunity to make a brief comment here today on these or other current event stories. Again, if you have a brief comment today, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. You're welcome with your comment here today on Crosstalk. Again, that's 800-733-9829. Just a couple quick notes. Yesterday, as we interviewed Brian Osborne from Answers in Genesis on his book, Quick Answers to Social Issues, I know that the many encountered a busy signal at the VCY bookstore. That book is still available through July 31. VCY.com, VCY.com, or call 1-888-722-4829. Well, as you know, Major League Baseball is back in it again. As Washington Times reports, San Francisco Giants manager Gabe Kapler and several of his players knelt during the national anthem before Monday night's exhibition game against the Oakland Athletics. The right fielder Jalen Davis and his first base coach Antoine Richardson, both African-American, also took a knee as a shortstop, standing between them with a hand on each of their shoulders. And Major League Baseball defended what was going on. Reporting to a critical backlash on Twitter, Major League Baseball followed up with a post declaring it has never been about the military or the flag. Players and coaches are using the platform to peacefully protest. Hear what you have to say on that issue as well. By the way, there are those who are calling to boycott Major League Baseball at this time, even as the season got underway last evening, as increasing number of players taking a knee to the flag of the United States. Let's go to the phone lines. By the way, our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Danny in Arizona, you're on the air.
Hey, so I find it kind of crazy that the left can literally get away with violence. I'm talking about the whole Tucker Carlson thing.
Yeah.
That to me is crazy, because if Tucker were to do that to one of the New York Times editors, that would be the apocalypse for them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, lawsuits and everything else that would be going on, and calling for his job. Well, they're calling for his job now. But yeah. to dox him, I mean, what is the purpose of that? The purpose is to intimidate. The purpose is to, as he said, to allow for his wife and children to be terrorized?
Yeah, it's hypocrisy at its greatest.
Thank you, Danny, for your call here. Our number is 800-733-9829. Brian, Rochester, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. It just breaks my heart to hear about those officers out in Oregon and, you know, all over the country. And I just want to lift them up in prayer and let us grieve and let us just, you know, cry for them. And, you know, and maybe we ought to write them letters and stuff. I know at my church, my pastor, we sent some letters to our police department in Rochester, and I think they really need encouragement, you know. So,
indeed.
Yeah, God bless all the officers out there if they're listening too. So, thank you.
Thank you, Brian, for your call here today. And as we shared last week, a church had a special time of giving every officer in their community a check and certainly let them know how they were appreciated for the service that they do for the community. Tom is calling from Lubbock, Texas. Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, I just was disappointed last night when I turned on ESPN, which I should have expected it from ESPN. They're so political these days, but they put a big show on Black Lives Matter, and people were taking a knee to our flag.
Yeah.
And it really made me almost sick to my stomach to see all those high-paid baseball players with the fake fans behind them. It was, the whole thing was fake. And I think I'm through watching baseball if it's going to be like that.
Well, and that's what it appears it is going to be like that, and it's going to be extending into the other sports. I mean, look, we've got the NBA starting back up again, and whereby players can have, you know, put their social statement on the back of their jerseys and logos, Black Lives Matter logos on the basketball floor, etc. And whereas many people use sports as even as an entertainment or a venue, to enjoy the thrills of a game, it's turning more into a political event where the fans, the flames continue to be fanned here by those, as you said, that are making some significant money.
Well, and the, you know, it's just, it kind of sickened me to my stomach.
Yeah.
And I feel like that the sports ought to be void of all that. And, you know, we had a high-powered baseball player there making $300 million a year, just signed up with the Dodgers. He was kneeling right there and almost weeping.
Yeah. I tell you what, thank you, Tom, for the call. I'm up against a break, so appreciate your dialing us up today. From Lubbock, Texas, we'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day that they could discern the weather, but they could not understand the times. The signs of the time are all about us. The stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Notice what I said. I'm not saying it's being fulfilled right now, but the stage is being set for it to come to pass. The signs are everywhere. Good will be called evil. Evil will be called good. Today, if you are a conservative Christian, you're now a racist. We see the falling apart of moral values. Even the ability to defend one's own home. Have you heard about the couple in St. Louis that defended their home against a Black Lives Matter mob? Well, now the governor of Missouri is saying he'll pardon them if they're charged. But why should they ever be charged? They didn't break the law. The state law allows them to defend their property. Gold and silver are hitting highs for the last several years. There's talk of digital currency and much more. Are you noticing the signs of the time?
News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk. Just before getting back to the line, I don't know if you saw the story coming out about Twitter banning the Star of David image. Banned it because it was hateful. WND.com, Twitter locking the accounts of users who display the Star of David in their profile image or header, deeming it hateful imagery. The London-based nonprofit Campaign Against Anti-Semitism said several Twitter users have contacted them recently to report that the accounts had been locked because of various images of the Star of David violated the social media platform's rules against posting hateful imagery. Well, Twitter has now clarified its stance. And according to the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, the people were receiving messages saying, "We've determined that this account violated the Twitter rules, specifically for violating our rules against posting hateful imagery. You may not use hateful images or symbols in your profile image or profile header. As a result, we've locked your account." Well, now Twitter said, "We want to clarify some questions about hateful imagery. We categorically do not consider the Star of David a hateful symbol or a hateful image. We have for some time seen the yellow star, yellow badge symbol being used by those seeking to target Jewish people. This is a violation of the Twitter rules." So, I mean, they've reinstated these accounts. While the majority of cases were correctly actioned, some accounts highlighted recently were mistakes and have been restored, said Twitter. Do you think these things just occur to see what kind of pushback they're going to receive? I'll let you be the judge on that. Let's go next to Central Point, Oregon, and go ahead. You're on the air. Oh, our caller hung up. Okay. We're going then to Russell in St. Mary's, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Yeah, these ball fans need to quit supporting them people altogether, because they do not appreciate the opportunities that this great country's given them. And they need to quit buying their merchandise and quit watching it and quit it altogether and see how they like that. And P.S., anybody out there can do it, thank an officer today. Hmm. I did.
Thank you for the call here, Russell. Pensacola, Florida. Dave, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. That last PSA you just put on the air, I covered my point. Why is everybody panicking? This is wonderful. I hope this aorta in my heart doesn't break. They told me it's 5 millimeters. I believe with all my heart we're going to see the sky crack and Jesus is going to appear. All the strings are coming out of this ball. Everything's upside down and backwards and wrong. But this is the way it has to be. He says, hey, it's going to be a mess. Just before I come back, when I had enough of your guff, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bust some heads probably. And here it comes. And yay. Wow. I mean, you got to put a little positive spin on it. I get so depressed over all this. I don't even want to listen to the radio anymore. It just kills you. Everything, well, you say hello to somebody and they get offended. Yeah. Like, geez.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate your perspective here. Vanna in Alabama, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm hoping someone will start a GoFundMe account for those three policemen whose vision may be permanently impaired by what happened to them in that riot in Portland, I believe. Is that correct?
Portland, yes.
Yes. I mean, this is going to absolutely ruin the rest of their lives. I would give $100 right now to each one of them. If someone would start a GoFundMe account for these three men, you know, they have families, I'm sure.
Thank you, Vanna. And certainly it grieves the heart to see what is taking place.
I'm going to call the office and see if anyone has done that and get it going. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Marie in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment about the story where President Trump is sending assistance in the way of federal police to help some of the cities. Well, I just wanted to inform the listeners that Albuquerque is in a similar situation. We have a sheriff who happens to be a Democrat. His name is Manny Gonzalez, and he's a good sheriff, and he took it upon himself to reach out to President Trump and AG Barr in requesting assistance in the way of federal police for our city, because Albuquerque is number 5 in violent crimes and other crimes in the nation. And now, because he's asked for that help, all of the New Mexico elected officials, like Governor Lujan Grisham, Senator Heinrich, Representatives Hollis and Holland and Torres Small, Ray Lujan, and even our Attorney General Balderas, are all attacking Gonzalez because he went, you know, he went outside their little realm and asked for assistance. As a matter of fact, one of the Balderas is going to be taking to court a case where that's over a year old, where the Bernalillo County police shot a girl that it's been in there for over a year waiting. Mm-hmm. And now, because the sheriff has had the guts to come out and say, hey, we need some assistance, now they're going to rush that case into court.
Wow.
So it's just horrendous what our state goes through. And I make the phone calls every time that I can. I get on their phone and I make these comments. And I tell people, it's like, wake up.
Yeah, indeed. Marie, I've got to run. Thank you for your call here today from Albuquerque. We do appreciate it. Friends, we are in troubling times. And as Paul laid that out to his epistle to Timothy, talked about what those perilous times would be, but he said to continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said reminded Timothy that all scripture was given by inspiration of God, that it's there. It is certainly that which is perfect. And we are to proclaim or preach the word in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And can I encourage you in that regard to continue to be in the word? I just saw some amazing statistics, and I don't have time to get into it today, but Bible reading has gone down during the coronavirus. Matter of fact, we also found that statistics are showing that a third of regular churchgoers did not watch their services online or participate during the pandemic, finding other things to do instead. We talk about our grief for the direction that our country is happening. Folks, it begins with you and I to be serious and to repent and turn from our wicked ways and to confess this even before the Lord, to turn to Him. And how disheartening to see that even during this coronavirus pandemic, how when a time when we should be turned to the Lord, that so many are doing just the opposite. Let me encourage you to be faithful in your study of the Word of God and be faithful with your local church. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.